Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dad, I'm broke.
Hey, broke. I'm Dad.
Dad.
Okay, don't you have cash saved up from babysitting?
No, I spent it. I want my own bank account from S&T Bank. They offer free ATMs, Zelle, and an annual scholarship. Plus, when I open a Smart Start checking account, I get $100. See? I'm responsible.
Hey, responsible. I'm Dad.
Visit stbank.com/smartstart for details. Bonus available July 1st through September 30th, 2022. Opening deposit balance of $50 required. Member FDIC.
Welcome to an all-new season of the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. This season, we're diving into some of the most unusual missing person cases, from the shocking disappearance of Charlie Ross to the American Dyatlov Pass disappearances.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. I'm your host, Larry Lease. Today, we continue our series of Shit Out of Luck, the capture of Joseph DeAngelo, also known as the Golden State Killer. First, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Podnex. Visit podnex.com. Use promo code TCNS for 10% off your order. Podnex as in right there. And now let's get on with the show. For decades, California residents lived in fear of a notorious criminal lurking in the shadows and hiding in plain sight as he selected his next victim, committing a spree of horrific and brutal crimes, leaving little to no evidence behind. Many cases grew cold. It wouldn't be until years later, with the advancement of technology, that Joseph James DeAngelo would finally be identified and linked to his crimes. 2018, an ex-police officer who came from a military family was just an elderly neighbor to some. But little did anyone know that they were living in the presence of a monster with a grim past, one riddled with heinous and awful crimes. Born in New York, but moved to California as a teen, the root of his evil brewed somewhere along the line. As a kid, DeAngelo spent some of his time in Germany, where his father was stationed. While there, he witnessed a brutal crime against his younger sister, who was sexually assaulted by two soldiers. Whether the incident had any influence on the crimes he later committed is uncertain, but what is certain is that he, too, became a perpetrator of horrific acts. Between 1974 and 1979, while working as a cop, DeAngelo committed many crimes that he was never suspected of. A string of burglaries between 1974 and 1975, in which the suspect rummaged through women's underwear and stole small items, eventually led to that same person breaking into the home of Professor Claude Snelling, where the perpetrator attempted to kidnap his teenage daughter. Snelling was shot and killed while confronting the offender, who would turn out to be this old dude. The police obviously did not know at the time. Even while DeAngelo was still on the force, his extracurricular started attracting attention. By 1976, his crimes were being attributed to the East Area rapist who was terrorizing Sacramento suburbs. In 1979, DeAngelo was fired from the police department for allegedly stealing a hammer and a can of dog repellent. After he had been fired, the police chief reported that his then 4-year-old daughter had seen a man's face outside of her window one night. Within the same year, DeAngelo was found guilty of shoplifting and fined $100 and sentenced to probation. He sued the police over his termination, which was later dropped, and as part of the legal proceedings, had to do a mandatory therapy session, in which he admitted to going into the chief's house with a gun with the intent to kill him. His then-girlfriend Bonnie Colwell, who DeAngelo met at Sierra College and eventually became engaged to, has said that she became disturbed by some of his behaviors. such as illegal hunting and kicking a dog to death after it followed him while on a motorcycle ride. Colwell may have ended her relationship with D'Angelo, but he wasn't exactly done with her. After the breakup, and with a gun in hand, he showed up at her parents' home where she was living, demanding that she go with him to Reno to get married. Colwell told this to her father, who advised her to lock herself in the bathroom while he handled the situation. Eventually, her father got D'Angelo to leave. It would later be reported by many of his victims that he had broken into tears while attacking them, saying, "I hate you, Bonnie." During D'Angelo's spree, there was a time where the activities at the East Area Rapist had seemingly diminished, but that's only because D'Angelo was on the move. However, a spree began emerging in Southern California that was attributed to the original Night Stalker, who had similar patterns in his attacks to the East Area Rapist. Initially, D'Angelo seemed to target women who were home alone or along with their children, in suburban areas. Then he moved on to couples. He typically tied the man up, placing dishes on his back, cautioning him that if he hears the dishes, they'd both be killed. He would then sexually assault the women in the house, repeating this method of attack 21 times. He continued his reign of terror. Eventually, some of his victims fought back. Some even escaped. After losing control of the horrendous scenes he was creating, D'Angelo then began to murder his victims. At the time, DNA technology was not available, so detectives used what they had to piece together the patterns in the attacks. This led to officials to piece together that the East Area Rapist might also be the original Night Stalker, who was murdering people in Southern California. Detective Larry Crompton of the Contra Costa County Sheriff's Department stated, quote, "He would not leave fingerprints, so we could not prove other than his MO that he was the same person. With no prints and little known about his appearance, apart from minor details, no suspects were identified. It wouldn't be until many years later that the case would finally begin to crack. As technology advances and DNA testing emerged, in mid-1990s, cold case investigator Paul Holes was working as a forensic scientist when he came across the case files and became obsessed with the case. By the early 2000s, DNA tests were available to confirm that the East Area Rapist and the original Night Stalker were the same person, but to no avail in identifying a suspect. The later true crime writer Michelle McNamara dubbed him with the name of the Golden State Killer in early 2013. She claimed that prior to giving him this name, the man lacked any sort of catchy name, despite having many associated with him, including the East Area Rapist or the original Night Stalker, which was short to eons. Even as of 2016, a $50,000 reward for any information that could lead to the arrest and conviction of the Golden State Killer was announced by the FBI. Detective Paul Hull says of his interest in the Golden State Killer in particular, quote, "I was struck by the lengths this predator would go to instill fear in his victims. It was psychological terror," end quote. After speaking with a colleague about a 2022 case that had been solved using DNA and a genealogy website to identify a kidnapping victim, Detective Holes was inspired to look into this genetic method as a way of tracing the Golden State Killer. Over the years, many of the DNA samples from the case had been depleted, but a pathologist was able to duplicate an evidence kit that had been recovered from a case in 1980. Holes obtained the sample he needed and then found a website called GED Match, which is primarily used by people searching for possible distant family connections. Using their genetic information by accessing the website's database of nearly a million genetic profiles. Once the genetic material had been entered, the ensuing genealogy search was massive in scope. The initial DNA work was able to identify a few distant relatives, but not D'Angelo himself. The team that had 10 to 20 distant relatives of the killer, all roughly about third cousins. A team of five investigators built out intricate family trees, mostly on weekends and whenever they could steal a moment, because this investigation wasn't meant to be their full-time focus. The team spent months poring over census records, obituaries, gravesite locators, police and commercial databases, They first had to work backward from every tree, linking all the cousins to a common ancestor they shared with a killer, ultimately pinpointing D'Angelo's great-great-great-grandparents from the early 1800s. During this time, they built out about 25 family trees with thousands of relatives from the 1800s to present day. For scale, to locate the common ancestor, they had built out D'Angelo's family tree to about 1,000 family members alone. They tried to locate the men who would fall within the age range they could match the killer, who had any connections to Sacramento or other crime locations throughout California. Ultimately, they were able to narrow it down to 2 suspects. Though another DNA test from one of his relatives, leaving only D'Angelo. At the time, D'Angelo was 72 years old and retired, living in Citrus Heights. Holmes learned that D'Angelo was a cop that had left the force in disgrace and had records of buying guns during 2 periods in which the killer was particularly active. 32 years after his last killing on April 24, 2018, they finally caught and arrested the Golden State Killer. He was in his home, which was not far from any of the places he had committed his crimes. Investigators were able to match D'Angelo's DNA to the killer's by taking samples from the trash he had discarded. Holes had finally solved his 24-year search for the Golden State Killer. Moreover, the success of finding the Golden State Killer using genealogy and DNA technology has helped spur even further advances in criminal justice. One of the victim's brothers was able to successfully lobby California's government to expand DNA collections of the state criminal. On June 29th, D'Angelo pled guilty to 13 counts of first-degree murder in special circumstances, as well as 13 counts of kidnapping. They eventually reached an agreement, plea deal, that D'Angelo agreed to plead guilty on all charges to avoid the death penalty. He is now serving a lifetime sentence without parole. Thank you for listening to this episode of the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Let us know what you think about this case. Send us a tweet at TrueCrimeNS or leave a comment in the comment section below. And like and subscribe to this video. Give us a thumbs up if you like it. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Follow us on Twitter at True Crime NS. Like us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps. Send us a voice message at anchor.fm/truecrimeneversleeps/message. Tune in next week for an all-new episode.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.